This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's April the 20th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Dave Dickey, of course, will be along in just a few moments, too, with all the agricultural news for the day. And then Daryl Good will join us, at least in a story, to talk just a little bit about revenue assurance programs and what it might mean for your marketing program. It all happens in this Friday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Hi, this is AM 580 Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Would you like to TiVo our agricultural broadcasts? You can do so with AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts. Listen to all our shows at your convenience. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the red podcast link in the right navigation window. Follow the simple instructions and subscribe to the shows of your choice, the pre-opening, opening, and closing market reports, and Commodity Week. AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts. It's your marketing advantage.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Taking a look at how the numbers finished in Chicago at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange on this Friday afternoon now. From the board, nearby May wheat at $5.02 a bushel, up 6. July futures up 7 at 5.14¾. And the September's at 5.16¾ were up 7 for the day. May corn futures 3.60½, down 10¾. July off 10¼ at $3.72. And December futures at 3.74¾ were off 5¼ this afternoon. May soybean futures at 7.23¼, a nickel higher. July futures at 7.40¼, up 5¼. And November beans 5½ cents higher at $7.67½. May bean meal futures 196.40. They were off 50 for the day. May bean oil at 32.35, up 79. From the Mercantile Exchange, nearby April feeder cattle 25 cents lower at $107.05. April live cattle at 95.62½ were down 82½. And the June futures there 45 cents lower at 92.27½. Lean hogs finished the May contract down a dime at $76.57½. From the outside markets, May crude oil futures up $1.72 at $63.55 a barrel. The June futures at $64.18. We're up 86 at this hour. Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 12,935, and it's up just about 127 points.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this Friday afternoon is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk a little bit about what's been happening at the Chicago Board of Trade, the Mercantile Exchange, and in Washington with the USDA. We'll start out with the feeder cattle numbers cattle on feed report, that was released at 2 o'clock this afternoon on feed as of April 1st, according to USDA, 99%, placed in March at 107, and the marketed in March at 94. The marketed was just a little bit below the range, and everything else appears to be pretty close to inside what most of the traders were expecting. How do you see that particular report?
Exactly the same. A little bit disappointing, the fat cattle with the marketing's number, and the trades kind of noted that in the news wires here the last few minutes. So we might see a little bit of a problem with the front-end April cattle, especially since they're getting ready to go off the board. Cash trade will be probably pretty doggone important next week as we start the week off, because that'll probably be their way they register whether they need to take the front end down or not. So that's probably the biggest way, the biggest thing to be watching here as we go into Monday.
Are you surprised about the number of cattle that are placed, that it continues to go up despite the higher price of commodities?
No, because I think, Todd, at this point we're probably seeing a lot crossing the borders from both sides. I would suspect that the high feed prices with Mexico and the exchange rates with Canada is allowing the Canadian cattle to come down and the Mexican cattle to come on back up. I don't really think, and I think there's others out there that know a lot more about livestock than I, that would say you're probably, when you look at the pork and the poultry and the beef sectors, you're not really doing much to slow down the demand for those sectors because their individual retail prices are up so much. You know, I think the beef prices were up around 19% year-to-date for the first quarter or something like that. I know it was in the teens, and I want to say it was 19 or so percent. That's not going to slow anybody down as far as, you know, producing cattle and sending them into the feedlots, even at these prices of corn.
And speaking of doing fairly well, we probably ought to talk about the hogs just a bit today. On the weekly trade, of course, the last month expired this week, so now May is the new lead. And when you go Friday to Friday on the weekly trade, it's an $11.10 gain on the week. Friday over Friday at 76.57 and a half in the May contract. Lean hogs are holding steady, and they've been doing fairly well for a good portion of the season.
They have, and it was very impressive to see those May keep their, you know, $10+ premium when the April went off last week, and I think that can be associated back to the fund community, and again the lower currency exchange rates and how strong our exports have remained. And about 12 or 18 months ago, the hog sector in the analytical world out there was very surprised that our exports were doing as well as they were, but that has continued to hold up because there's not a lot of competing meats out there right now, especially given the prices that we have here in the States. So other than the South Korea blemishes that we have with the beef and some of the other minor things going on with Japan, really the world meat trade looks pretty strong right now.
And then you better turn your attention to the grain market. Let's start with the corn, where we had a 10-cent loss in the nearby May, July, off 10 as well. December, the new crop, were off just 5 cents for the week on the weekly trade. Nearby May off 8.5, but December futures were down 20 and a quarter, so there was some bull spreading happening this week.
Yeah, a lot of it until today. It looked like today was kind of a reversal and kind of a return to what we had experienced the last few weeks. You know, going back, I was talking to a client that's a good listener to Will Radio right before we went on the air, and he asked about the July D's corn spread. It wasn't too long ago that July was 25 to 30 cents premium to the December, and then all of a sudden, last week, I think we eclipsed that 16-cent level discount to the December, so quite a wide swing before this week up until today. So kind of a return back to what we had been dealing with a few weeks prior. We suspect, based upon some of the contact information we have up there in the pits, that the volume was extremely light in corn and beans again today, heavy again in wheat. We also suspect that the wheat was being spread against the short corn and the beans were being spread against short corn as well. So that seemed to be the major features. The corn market in particular, it looked like as we came into this week, they saw a little bit of a threat to the weather and decided to unwind that bear spread and kind of go with the mindset, if we need to buy it, let's buy the front end, and a bird in the hand is more than, you know, two in the bush. So that seemed to be kind of the mindset we saw up until today, but then the weather looked like, in at least the eastern Corn Belt, is going to, you know, open up for quite a bit of planting, which there is a lot going on right now in certain areas of Illinois and Indiana.
Indeed, and planters have been rolling here. I was a bit surprised, thought it maybe was too wet, but over the week I've seen several planters just on my 8 to 10-mile trip back home from Urbana, going west on 74. I've seen planters roll, I think, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week. So
yeah, it sounds like that the Champaign on south until you get close to Tuscola and then down by Sherman and Hudsonville, you're looking at a situation where those guys will probably really open up on Sunday at the latest if they see, you know, the types of highs that the meteorologists are calling for this weekend. They get a couple days of 80 degrees, and they seem like they want to get into the field and get that corn planted a couple days ahead of a significant rain, especially if they get the heat in the soil. So it'll be a pretty wild ride here on the crop progress numbers. Last year we went from 9% to 25%. Some in the trade this week, I heard them spout off that we were going to get 25% planted in the United States come Monday's report. That will be a feat, given that we were only at 4%. But I guess if the USDA lagged this past week and we actually had 7 or 8% done, maybe indeed we can do that. But that'll be a big, big deal with the trade come Sunday night and Monday. And then obviously, how big is the rain? Because Iowa's looking at a substantial amount of rainfall both this weekend and then again early next week, and then there may be a third system out there at the end of next week, and 3-inch, 4-inch totals are being talked about or forecasted in some of these models right now.
I'd like to return to the front months and the nearby old crop corn futures for just a bit and talk some more about who owns the futures market at this point. We had a discussion last week on Commodity Week about whether it had changed hands, whether the commercials had now come in and are the owners of those futures positions and what that might mean to the marketplace, actually.
Yeah, based upon the weekly stocks of corn, it would make sense to us that the commercials have assumed some ownership at the same time the funds have liquidated. But we've heard the exact same thing that you reported on at Commodity Week, Todd, that you're looking at anywhere from 75 to 100,000 more additional fund long contracts that would like to be liquidated. Most of the contacts we have up there would say that's going to be in your front end because that's the most liquid. We do have a couple guys telling us that they still have quite a bit, the funds still have quite a bit in long positions in Dees, new crop, but that's probably the major feature of what was going on earlier on this week when weather seemed like it was going to be a little bit problematic for getting corn planted, that we did go ahead and see that July get bought up, and we suspect that the funds had run their gamut to the downside in liquidation mode, and it kind of climaxed last Friday, and then we saw some commercials pick some up, we suspect, based upon how tight we are in the pipeline, Gulf basis improving, and then again those weekly stocks that USDA put out on Tuesday.
Would that give credence then to the discussion we had yesterday with Bill Mayer about potentially somebody being caught on the wrong side of the market and just trying to push it against them?
It's very possible, given that I heard this week, just as of yesterday, that some of the wheat pit traders are saying that the wheat market feels like it did last October, and we all remember how some people got, you know, really big time caught on the wrong side there. I think the other thing probably to recognize about this July Dees corn spread is historically it will flare up and go much above the December if you have a true supply crunch. This time around with the funds, we may not be able to get more than what the basis does. In other words, if the Gulf basis goes 50 over the Chicago Board of Trade, then maybe the July Dees can get 50 over the 50 cents premium to the July. But I think we were in the camp this past winter at all these meetings that we were looking at another 96 or another 73 where the July really takes off against the December. I'm getting very strong feedback from people I really respect up at the floor that says a lot of this fund money is going to go to the new crop and sit at the new crop because that's where the supply crunch is coming from. So I think we might be under a different situation, and that makes me want to play it a little more safe and say July Dees can go the route and the same ratio of what the Gulf basis does.
Okay, we appreciate you being with us.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend, sir.
You too, man. That's Mike Zuzulo, Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Friday afternoons.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, Steve Hilberg. AM 580's own forecast for tonight across the two-state region calls for clear skies. Lows will range from 38 in northeastern Indiana to 48 in the west, says Ed in central Illinois, that is. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Highs will range from around 70 in northern Indiana to 78 in west central Illinois. Tomorrow, wind speed 6 to 12 miles an hour. The minimum afternoon relative humidity generally between 30 and 40%. The extended forecast, open weather for field work, will continue right on through Sunday. Scattered showers, thunderstorms possible Sunday night and Monday. Clusters of thunderstorms will be greater coverage as possible, but not yet definite. Dave Dickey's here now with all today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, a 10,000-pound air beef shipment from Creekstone Farms Premium Beef is expected to arrive in South Korea on Monday. Creekstone was one of three U.S. companies to have an entire shipment of beef rejected because of small bone or cartilage fragments. Since then, South Korea has changed its policy to allow import inspectors to reject a single box of beef rather than an entire shipment if a problem is found. Meanwhile, yesterday, Japan and the U.S. failed to narrow their differences on U.S. beef. Japan's prime minister is meeting with U.S. President George Bush at Camp David next Friday. The House of Representatives passed the Water Resources Development Act yesterday by a 394-25 vote. The $15 billion bill will construct 7 new locks on the Upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers, as well as fund hundreds of projects in nearly every state to improve flood protection and restore the environment. Missouri Representative Kenny Hulshoff.
The river's been a provider for me and my family, delivering the grain from our farm to international markets. And I will tell you, as the gentleman from Minnesota has stated, the nickels and dimes per bushel that we save by shipping via barge were often the difference between our farm ending up in the red or ending up in the black. Those few cents have helped keep food on our table, clothes on our back, and over the years kept our farm even within our own family.
The Bush administration is opposing the measure, noting the price tag has increased by $5 billion over the version passed last year in the House. House Agriculture Chairman Colin Peterson says the next farm bill must have federal support for cotton, rice, and peanut producers. The Minnesota Democrat says without those crops in the farm bill, in his words, there'll be no way to pass it. But Peterson also says there will not be any new livestock competition provisions in the original chairman's mark. Peterson also said that he has found no House lawmaker interested in introducing USDA's version of the farm bill. Earlier this month, USDA Secretary Mike Johanns told reporters that they are writing an actual farm bill with titles on conservation and rural development set to be released before the end of the month. South Dakota Senator John Thune has introduced legislation to extend the tariff on imported ethanol for 2 years. The current tariff is set to expire on 31 December of 2008. And Thune says allowing that would lead to more unregulated imports of foreign ethanol, discouraging domestic production.
Lifting the tariff on ethanol, Brazilian ethanol in particular, would simply allow us to take dependence upon foreign oil and substitute in there dependence upon foreign ethanol. And what we need to be doing is developing homegrown energy sources and continuing to have policies in place that further and promote that. So we introduced a bill that essentially would extend the tariff until the end of the year 2010, and that also is consistent with when the ethanol tax credit would expire.
Thune's legislation would also call for a study of the Caribbean Basin Initiative, including the source and amount of ethanol being passed through participating countries into the U.S. Thune says there is good reason to believe the ethanol loophole is being abused. And the Kansas Association of Wheat Growers yesterday in a press release said freeze damage to hard red winter wheat in Kansas is becoming, quote, very apparent. The heaviest freeze damage thus far is in central Kansas. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, urging you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can find all the daily ag programming as MP3 files or podcasts, including Commodity Week. That'll air here on the station tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. Central Time, but you can pick it up off willag.org. That's willag.org. Just after 6 o'clock this evening, our guest for Commodity Week, Glenn Ring. Well, up next, farmers taking federal crop insurance revenue products on corn and soybeans shouldn't feel pressured into selling their crop. The RMA, the United States Department of Agriculture Risk Management Agency, offers insurance products to farmers. Some of these insure revenue, or the minimum amount of money a farmer might reap from an acre. While the numbers aren't in yet and won't be for quite some time, University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good says most farmers take revenue insurance products on their corn acres and at least some of their soybean acres. Good is of the opinion that those taking this type of coverage can rest more at ease as the prices fluctuate up and down. This is because it sets a bottom line on gross returns.
It's much like in previous history when we said when the price is below the loan rate, oh, I don't have a lot of downside risk. I can always get the loan rate for my crop. The only reason I would sell below the loan rate is if I was pretty confident that prices were going to go lower and not recover above the loan rate. In the same way on crop insurance, say, why sell below 406 December guarantee? I'm locked in at that level. only if I thought prices were going to continue to go lower and never recover back to that level.
This year, the revenue assurance products give the farmer the luxury of being able to confidently wait to see if the prices rise above that level for corn. The actual dollar figure will vary with the coverage amount, but roughly speaking, it's $4.06 times the coverage, say 85%. That's the equivalent futures price. Subtract the basis, or the difference between the futures and the cash price, and you get an equivalent cash price.
I mean, that's one way to look at it. The other way is to say, I'm probably never going to sell 80% of my crop, more than 80% of my crop pre-harvest. So on that 80%, that or up to half the crop that I might consider pricing, that's within my guarantee. So why would I want to sell anything below my guaranteed price, unless I normally sell 100% of the crop sometime before planting.
Truly, it seems, like other insurance products claim, the revenue assurance products this year, no matter the coverage level, offer a farmer a way to rest easy when prices are down. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Time now for our daily look at the cash grain market. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Cash basis following the market's kind of gyrations this week?
We have seen some improvement in the cash basis here. Processor numbers in central Illinois on corn up 2 cents or so for the week. Bean basis was up 2 cents a little earlier in the week. SIF numbers, we've seen some improvement on the SIF in the last week and a half, say 19 over a week and a half ago, delivered New Orleans, and up to 29 over today for April barges, so up 10 cents in a week and a half. Barge freight has stayed cheap, just not a whole lot moving. That 220% of tariff level has been trading for a couple weeks. That's probably what the barge lines would consider tying off. They wouldn't run north with an empty at that kind of level, so it must be getting fertilizer loads headed north and looking for basically a backhaul on it. So quiet movement, not a whole lot selling, basis a little bit better in some markets. Hopefully it'll roll over into the CN train market that we trade so we can get a little better basis number out of it.
And tell me, why is it that the Gulf bid has gotten to be so much better?
I think we've seen the Western Belt basis has been strong, and it's slowly been working its way east. The Center Gulf was pretty quiet. There just hasn't been a whole lot of cash movement. If we can see additional basis improvement, you know, we've been dragging some hedge inventories out here, so that's what it needs to do to get cash moving. Board is kind of really a non-event on old crop. We go up, we go down. We're not at new high levels. What the producer has wanted to sell, I think he has sold old crop. He's more focused on new right now. So it's more of a basis play to generate old crop cash.
And so they're generating out of the commercial side,
right?
Then?
Yeah, okay. Moving hedged inventories. And the hedged inventories are a little bit more comfortable. When we were $4 plus and going up every day, every elevator was basically doing everything it could to meet margin calls on the stuff. Now that we've taken a break back, you can hold inventories. There's a board carry saying don't ship it. So if the cash market wants it, it's got to pull it away from that.
So really, it's just a matter that it's trying to get, not to pry stuff out of the farmer's hand yet. That'll come later.
But trying to move it from the commercial.
Okay, good note. That's what I wanted to know. Yeah. Tell me what your bids for the day are, please.
We are at 337 at Paxton on nearby corn, 343 on the new crop, beans 690 nearby, and 737 new crop.
We appreciate it much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, where he serves as the manager. In just a couple of moments, we'll take a complete look at your regional newscast.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Law enforcement officials in Monticello say they're taking seriously a threat found in a restroom yesterday at the city's high school. The message on a mirror read, "This will be Virginia Tech in 5 days." A number of law enforcement agencies say they're doing all they can to ensure the safety of students, heightening security and keeping the school on lockdown for several days. Those involved include the FBI, Illinois State Police, City Police, and Piatt County Sheriff's Department. Illinois government paused this morning to remember those killed in Monday's shootings at Virginia Tech. The Capitol Rotunda was one of several sites where bells rang 32 times, commemorating each of the victims. A member of the governor's staff says such a tragedy impacts everyone, knowing this could have happened anywhere. And Senate President Emil Jones took today to bring up the issue of gun control, saying he understands some view it as a right. Bells also rang at Altgeld Hall at the University of Illinois campus as part of a moment of silence held around the state at 11 this morning. Legislation that would have rolled back electric rates across Illinois was sidetracked by maneuvering in the state Senate today. Supporters of a rollback scored an important victory when the Senate voted 33-24 to amend the legislation by including millions of ComEd customers. Backers then planned to call the revised bill for a vote, but an ally of Senate President Emil Jones used a rare parliamentary maneuver to suspend the ComEd amendment that had just been added. Senator Gary Forby called the maneuver, quote, ridiculous. Now the Benton Democrat is trying to figure out what's next for his legislation. Indiana lawmakers are working to resolve a number of issues before the final week of the legislative session. A lot of these bills don't attract the attention of issues like property taxes or the state budget. Governor Mitch Daniels has signed a number of them already, about two dozen, quietly into law. One he signed last month will allow judges to require people convicted of animal abuse to seek counseling as part of their sentence, and another will provide housing lease protections for domestic violence victims. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to WILL Urbana. We're joined on this Friday afternoon by Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center right here in Champaign County at the Illinois State Water Survey. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Everybody wants to know, at least those who are producers and farmers, and I suppose those who want to have athletic or baseball games and soccer games over the weekend, whether they'll get them in or not.
This looks like it's going to be one of the nicest weekends we've had since I can remember. I mean, we may have had a nice one there in March when we had the warm weather, but this will be just about a perfect weekend. I think as far as rainfall is concerned, that will be holding off until later on Sunday and Monday. So I think most of the weekend is going to be really great. Lots of sunshine. Temperatures this afternoon are already up near 70, so we'll be up into the 70s tomorrow and Sunday. And it looks like keep our fingers crossed, but I think the mild weather is pretty much here to stay now. I think we're done with the winter stuff.
We're done with the winter stuff. That doesn't mean we're not going to get some precipitation. There are calls early in the week, potentially, for a little more rainfall.
Yeah, it looks like we had our week of dry weather here, and it looks like next week's not going to be quite so good as far as trying to keep the rain out so planting can get well underway. But so it looks like there's going to be almost a chance for rain somewhere in the state every day next week, and every place will not get rain every day, and there may be a couple some parts of the state that will go dry for a day or two or three maybe. But we're going to have a front drop through here and a lot of little disturbances moving through the Midwest and Illinois next week, which will keep showers and thunderstorm possibilities alive most of the week. But again, it should be mild, and the weather, you know, won't be too bad, but it's not going to be one of these situations where it's going to be raining all the time or for a whole day at a time, but there certainly will be the risk of rain most of next week.
And then I want you to go back for me and take a look at the winter. Did we end up, as you suspected, despite the very cold weather at points and the very warm weather at points, did we end up with a one that'll look like average for the season?
Yes, we did. That's the one thing about looking at average temperatures is that it doesn't describe the variability. We had a somewhat we had a warm, not entirely warm December, but slightly warm December, a warm January, very cold February. When you average it all together, temperatures were generally just about around normal. And then, of course, March was very warm. February or April so far now has been rather cool. We're about 7 degrees below normal through about the middle of the month. So But the winter, if you just look at the average temperature, looks pretty unremarkable.
All right. We appreciate it much.
Okay, Todd.
That's Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Champaign County. Asked him just a bit about what the average temperature, what the winter looked like as you averaged it out, mostly because it has an impact on the natural gas supplies that are available. And I know, in fact, that the price of anhydrous ammonia has climbed again. Wanted to double check and see if more natural gas had been used over the winter time than I suspected. My guess is that's not the case. We'll follow up on that one on Monday during the closing market report when we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago during the weather segment. You can always hear those if you'd like on our website at WILLAG.org. And don't forget, tonight after 6 o'clock, or once you get in from the field back to the office, you can listen to Commodity Week if you'd like right there on our website at WILLAG.org. Sign up for the podcast, too, and make sure you sign up for that newsletter subscription on the weekend. Dave Dickey does a great job of putting that one together. You have a good afternoon. Stay safe out there. Don't work too many long hours without taking a little nap from time to time. I'm Todd Gleason.